a sense of fairness. We have a history of restricting immigration. In fact, some of the historians who look at the 1924 Immigration Act suggest that one of the major reasons we ended up with that act was a fear of Catholics, and that Catholics immigrating from countries like Italy and Poland and the extreme concern with the number of Jewish immigrants from Eastern Europe were behind that. If we had not had these regulations and laws passed, it's been speculated that the current U.S. population would include far more Asian Americans and today have a majority composed of Catholics and Jews. So we have a history in this century, at least the last century, of restricting immigration. So my question, should we be looking at a moratorium, as was suggested in the tape, a five-year moratorium on immigration? Rodrigo.
Yes, let me just say that I think that a moratorium idea grows out of an approach to immigration policy that I would call the let's take care of our own approach. That approach is to say that we are Americans and America must come first. We must raise our wages. We must close our borders. We must protect our environment from encroachment by people from other nations. It's a kind of fortress mentality. And I believe this is a fundamentally unethical approach. I'll tell you why. We've been talking about a certain I word all day, the word immigration. But you know, I think there's a certain other I word that is very closely related, the word imperialism. If you look at the nations that are sending us so many of our immigrants, Mexico, the Dominican Republic, Haiti, El Salvador, Nicaragua, Colombia, Cuba, all of these nations have one thing in common. They have suffered enormous political, economic, and social exploitation by whom? By the United States of America, by you and me. And all of these nations, perhaps if their houses were in order, perhaps if we had let them put their houses in order, perhaps if we had not taken Texas, Colorado, Arizona, New Mexico, California, my goodness, think of all the value of that land. If we had left these places where they were, maybe the Mexican people wouldn't be coming there. Maybe we'd be crossing the border the other way. Maybe Mexico would have the resources today to be a wealthy nation that could take care of its own country, to take care of its own people. I lived for 3 years in the Dominican Republic. The Dominican Republic is a nation that underwent an 8-year occupation from 1916 to 1924 by the United States of America, an invasion in 1965 when there was the possibility of a leftist government coming to power. We have interfered in that country so much, and look at the conditions of it. One out of every 7 Dominicans lives outside, including my wife, incidentally, lives outside the borders of their nation, and they are people who have no sense of controlling their own destiny. Look at the Haitians getting in their boats, trying to get to Florida. I remember a National Public Radio news story that when Aristide was in power at the beginning of his term of office, the amount of illegal immigration from Haiti plummeted. Why? Because Haitians felt in control of their destiny. If we have problems with immigration today, it is the chickens come home to roost. It is the wages of our sins.
The I word. All right. Good evening. You're on the air. We just talked about the I word and the immigration restriction and whether or not the U.S. has a responsibility because of its previous foreign policies in other countries to perhaps have our borders more open. Can you comment on that?
I agree with the last, because the last person was speaking. I'm Cuban, and I've been here for like around 10 years. I'm missing like 7 credits to become an electrical engineer. If you look at the American foreign policy, yeah, in some degree, you get it. Before, you were talking about the environment, and it's kind of it's funny. If you talk about air pollution, it's like power plant. If you talk about water pollution, it's like a big industry. And if you talk about the land, it's like the super funds and all the... I don't think that thing has anything related to immigration. So this immigrants is like a pretty good scapegoat. That's good. They have nobody who they can talk about it or get the votes or anything. So like fairs and all those groups, my own view, they are like a big racist.
A big what?
Racist. I mean, this is...
We've had the I word, and now we have the R word, racism.
Yeah, there is a huge amount of racism.
If we go back historically, when I went back to the Immigration Act of 1924, Catholics weren't considered fully white at the turn of this century. Jews weren't considered white. I know I shouldn't say this with only 9 minutes left, but neither were Irish considered, or Italian sometimes considered fully white. Asians were not allowed in because they were not white. Africans were not allowed in because they weren't white. There was a concern, and we're not going to hear this segment of the tape, but there was a concern to maintain the Northern European roots in this country. We have the I word coming in. We have the R word coming in. We thank you very much for your comments. All right, we're looking at the last few minutes. I want to be sure that some people perhaps who haven't spoken as much, if they have an opportunity to, you know, this is your last chance. Are there some issues over here? Because we know Wade's going to jump in. All right, Wade, we're going to hear you again.
Okay, having been brought up in the South of the United States and having a lot of acquaintances who certainly were racist, no question, I never heard of Irish or Catholic or Italians or what have you not being considered fully white.
Oh,
I think that's an exaggeration.
After the radio show, okay, I can give you seven or eight books that talk about
what I really want to comment on is the comment about imperialism, U.S. imperialism, being a cause of the massive immigration we have. I think that's a very minor cause. Take the massive immigration we had back in the 20s from Italy. Certainly there was no American imperialism in Italy at the time. The greatest increase in immigration right now from a percentage basis is from countries like India and China. And certainly there's been very little U.S. imperialism in either of those two countries.
So I don't think Rodrigo would argue that imperialism is the only reason that people have immigrated. I think that's important. That immigration is a very complex kind of phenomenon. Okay. Now, I'm looking at the clock, and I'm going to make everybody keep their comments short here.
Just a real quickie. Our problem in our organization is we have no racial tinge whatsoever to this, and we don't care where they come from. It is the numbers, and they are destroying, despite the last caller, the environment. The numbers of people in Florida are the basic cause of environmental destruction in Florida. It's now projected that in 2030, I think, or 2035, we're going to have double the population we have in Florida at the present time, 30 million people. What will happen to the environment when we have 60 million, 90 million, what have you? And immigration and the children of immigrants now are the prime cause of population increase in the United States, children of immigrants since 1970. It's estimated it's roughly 60% of the current cause of increase in population in the United States.
Okay, thank you. Mary, you want to jump in? Mary.
I just want to say, I don't think so much he was talking about every imperialism. Of course, Lee, most of our influx of immigration came, the Irish immigrated here by the thousands and hundreds of thousands after the potato famine. You saw a lot of people immigrate from Eastern and Western Europe after World War I and prior to World War II, if they could have gotten out of some of those countries there, your Germany, Poland, Czechoslovakia, Austria, and all that. Most people, let's not forget, they came here in the first place for religious freedom because they didn't have that in their countries. When we're talking about the immigration of the 1700s and 1800s, they came here for freedom. And I'm sorry, I cannot hold that against anybody that comes to this country to be free.
Okay, we're going to take one last caller. Good evening, you're on the air.
Imperialism. I am from El Salvador. My name is Paco. And I think that many people from our countries came here right with the reason that he mentioned, imperialism, and not necessarily for economic reasons. People were pushed to leave our countries.
Okay, perhaps WMNF can do a forum where we look at issues such as imperialism and immigration. We probably have time for one or two more comments. Matilda.
Okay, in a nutshell, people who leave their country don't leave just because. They have a reason, even if being oppressed politically or economically or socially. And that's the thread make on this country. The people who came here came for those reasons. Two, close immigration, that's a very unrealistic point because every U.S. citizen who goes abroad and marries someone, what's going to do? He cannot come back into the States with his new wife? It's just unviable. And final, yes, we have to look over Florida infrastructure, but that is no excuse to close immigration because if we're going to look into our infrastructure and close immigration for foreigners, then we also have to close immigration nationwide. That's it.
Shantia.
A 5 years moratorium? Absolutely not. Obviously, we have to enforce some sort of restrictions and set limits per year, but a moratorium, no. That is, you know, it's also to protect those of us who are here. We have to set some limits. But everything, it seems, everyone and all the ills and woes of this country, it seems, is being blamed on immigrants. How ironic, a nation of immigrants.
How ironic. All right. Marcelo.
Well, yes. And first of all, I have to say thank you, Rodrigo, for the statement you made. That's very, very, very important. And also the caller from El Salvador. That's precisely what this country has to do as a responsibility, is to start working with the governments in all those countries where people are coming from in order to put order as far as economic and social responsibilities. It is very, very, very important. As far as moratorium, I don't think that's going to happen. It is predicted, talking about numbers, that by the year 2025, African American and Latinos in different countries will make more than 50% of the population.
We are looking at dramatic shifts in the demographics of our country. Marcelo is right, and that immigration will be a significant part of that. Wait.
Just, I would like to say that Floridians for a Sustainable Population, the organization that I'm affiliated with, does not support a moratorium. What we would like to do would be to see the level of immigrants get back to the level that it was in traditionally in the United States since World War II, roughly somewhere in the 200 to 320,000, 350,000 a year number, not this massive number that in the last few years we've gotten of a million legal immigrants and then an unknown number, perhaps half that many illegal immigrants per year that we've had coming into the United States.
Would you have any kind of internal restrictions within that number?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. The idea of race-based, ethnicity-based, we certainly would not support. I think personally the diversity that we've gotten with our immigration in recent years is all to the good. But I would like to point out one more thing. There have been poll after poll of various elements in the United States and their opinion on immigration, should it be reduced from current levels or not. Poll after poll has shown, and I've got a list of about 30 different polls here, that Hispanics, for example, a majority of Hispanics prefer a lower level of immigration than at the present time. Various other ethnic groups, lower level, Floridians, lower level, and so on, return basically to that level, probably, they generally don't specify, probably of 200,000 to 300 and some thousand a year. A moratorium would not work. That's clear, it would not work.
Mary.
I also don't agree with a moratorium because I happen to believe what the Statue of Liberty says, people yearn to be free are welcome here. But I kind of, you know, even to put a quota on them, I think you got to look at what's going on in the world and why these people want to come here and what do we want to do with our country? Do we want? I mean, we've always been a diverse country, freedom of speech, basic freedoms, human rights, and religious freedom, the most important thing that we have in this country, and that's the reason the original immigrants came to this country was religious freedom. And I think maybe your statistics are a little bit off because I think most people are portrayed the immigrant as the illegal immigrant and not as the legal immigrant.
And what percentage of immigrants are illegal? Isn't it almost like 1%? It's very low, very, very low. All right, we're going to take one last caller.
Hello.
Good evening. You're on the air.
Good evening.
You get the last.
Thank you very much. I was listening carefully to all the suggestions and comments made, and I realized that we speak of imperialism, the big I word, and we also spoke of racism, which was introduced later. And I'd like to look at these two together and find some kind of correlation, because you find that imperialism may be all looked at this from previous comments that it's all bad, but we must distinguish a type of imperialism. There is fascism, and that was a mighty imperialist country we know of, and that would be Russia, right, that created a lot of disaster for humans in this era. Now, if we look at the imperialism that
we are unfortunately running out of time. I think, again, as a member of the Tampa Bay community, we could say, MNF, there's some issues here that still need airing. We want to thank all of our panelists this evening for coming into the studio, sharing with us your thoughts on immigration. I, for one, have learned a lot. I'm sure our listeners have learned a lot as well. We know the immigration debate is not going away, and so we hope that not only the people in this room, but those who are listening, will be taking active parts in that discussion.